refrain from eating.
Okay.
Eating, drinking, sexual intercourse from Fajr time, beginning of Fajr time, all the way to sunset with the intention of fasting. That's also important in the definition, that if somebody just stays away from food and they stay away from drinking, they don't go close to their wife for the whole day and they say, I fasted, that will be incorrect. The niyat is very important. That's what makes the fast valid. And fasting, we find, is the fourth pillar of Islam. بني الإسلام على خمس أن تشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله وأن تقيم الصلاة وتؤتي الزكاة وتحج البيت تصوم رمضان وتحج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا. So number four is fasting from the pillars. Now during the fast, we understand the timing is from the Fajr time all the way to sunset. And up there it says this represents that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more important than taking care of the body. But in reality, this is good for the body. We find many benefits of fasting, and it gives the body to start all over again. So today, instead of going in what breaks the fast and what to do, what not to do, we're just going to take the very simple, basic beginning stages of fasting. What it is, what does it mean, and what types of fast there are in Sharia. Now, you'll find in number two is the different types of fast in Islam. Yes, there are various types of fast in Islam which are categorized below. You'll find that the fard fast. Number one is the fard fast. There is no way getting around this except for a person who is traveling or he is extremely sick. فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَىٰ سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ. If a person is so sick that he cannot fast, or he is traveling and there is so much problem and difficulty in the traveling, the concession is given to them, but at the same time, if they're okay, they should still fast. It's not like something you have to do. The option is there. And scholars have said when a person gives up the fast of Ramadan, he may fast throughout the whole year, but that reward can never be attained again. That's how valuable the days of Ramadan are. So we should not be looking for those ways to get around the fasting or to get into the concession zone. Instead, we should be looking at how can I fulfill every fast. If I am sick, so is there a way that I can still keep myself within the fast? Even in traveling, there's not much difficulty anymore. It's a lot easier. So a person can still make the fast. If he doesn't, for travelers and for those who are sick, then they are going to فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرَ. They are going to make it up in other days of the year. So that's what fard fast is. The other is wajib, which is a lower degree of fard. And we see the example given here is vowed fast. Vowed fast means when a person takes another. He says that, oh Allah, if this job of mine is fulfilled, if this problem of mine is solved, I'm going to fast. So is tarah ki nazar maan leta hai ki agar ya Allah mera ye kaam ho gaya, to main roza rakhunga aapke liye. So jab wo kaam ho jata hai to wajib ho jata hai roza. That's the second type of fast that comes in Islam. One is the fard, that's the Ramadan and the making up of Ramadan. Then wajib are those that when a person says he's going to do it and that condition is fulfilled, then he has to do it. It becomes wajib. Similarly, if a person starts a nafil fast, a voluntary fast, and then he breaks it, any ibadat, we have to remember this, especially in the Hanafi fiqh, that when a person starts a nafli ibadat and he breaks it, it becomes wajib on him to do it. Because he had the choice first, and then he gets into it and then violates. And then because of that violation, now that action will become wajib. Nafli ibadat shuru karke usko tor dena, do rakat nafil apne shuru ki, aur usse tor dein, to phir uska wajib hota hai padhna. Isi tarah roze bhi, nafli roze shuru kiye aur tor diye kisi wajah se, to phir uska rakhna kisi aur din mein wajib ho jata hai. Then we have the sunnah fast. Rasulullah ﷺ would fast on the day of Arafah. Every single year on the day of Arafah, Rasulullah ﷺ would fast. But the year when he went for the Hajj, which is the final year when he went for only one time for Hajj, In that year, Rasulullah did not fast on the day of Arafah, and that is the instructions for the Hujjaj Ikram, that when they go for Hajj, and when they're in the place, the plains of Arafat, they are not instructed to fast. And there's many reasons for that. Then from the Sunnah fast, you also find the Ashura, right? The 9th and 10th of Muharram, or 10th or 11th. That's also Sunnah. How did these fasts become Sunnah? They used to be Fard. Before Ramadan came into effect, before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the fast of Ramadan Fard, Rasulullah would fast on these days as a Fard. And that's what Aisha radiallahu anha has pointed out, that before Ramadan we used to fast. The 9th and 10th of Ashura, all of these fasts were Fard. And then they came down to being Sunnah after Ramadan came. So Ramadan is the only fast throughout the year that is to be said as Fard. Then there is the makruh, the disliked action of fasting. That is to constantly fast. And many people, they think that, you know, we're so pious, we can do it. Even at the time of Rasulullah, when the Prophet found that this person doesn't even eat, he fasts and fasts and fasts. Even in the women's side, one woman from Banu Asad, she came to Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha. And she said about her feedback, how she spends her day, she says, I fast throughout the whole day and I make ibadah at night. So Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, she put this question in front of Rasulullah, and the Prophet said that you should make ibadah according to your capacity. That indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not get tired of rewarding you, but you will get tired of doing the ibadah. So there is weakness connected to us. And looking in the far run, we have to accommodate ourselves in a moderate way. That's something I can do and I can be regular at doing. Not that today or this year I'm fasting so much, and then what happens after that, I get sick of fasting, or something that I don't want to do anymore. So the human nature is of that, because Rasulullah has also pointed out his own type of ibadah. He said, I also fast, but I also eat. And there's the moderation that Rasulullah showed in his seerah, that's how Sawm al-Wisal is something that people do, that they constantly fast. And that is also considered to be makruh and is disliked, discouraged. Zainab radiallahu anha, she had tied a rope between two pillars in Masjid al-Nabawi just so that she can stay up longer. That she started to fall in salah, so she would hold on to that rope. So when Rasulullah saw it, he said, who put this? They said, it's Zainab radiallahu anha. So he said to remove it, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said to do as much as you can. So if you're tired and you have to sleep, then you should go ahead and sleep and not push yourself that much, because there's a capacity in every individual and he should stick to that in order to be constant in his deen. Then we have the haram fast. Now we will be thinking that when does become haram? The day of Eid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed that is the time to eat and celebrate. The person, he decides to be over pious and says, no, I'm going to fast on that. So Sharia does not work according to our thinking or our logic. Same goes for the fasting timing. If iftar time is there and you say, no, I have more capacity. Some of the Jews, they do this in their fasting. They say, if you have capacity, keep going. But in Islam, there's that moderation, that you are going to put the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of you. It's not your will, it's not your understanding. When Allah says to stop eating, we stop eating. When Allah says to eat, then you have to immediately eat. So that's how simple it is to understand. So these days are haram because the Eid day, and then the other Eid. So Eid al-Fitr is only one day, and that day we should not be fasting. Eid al-Adha has 4 days. That's the day of Eid and 3 more days after. So Ayyam al-Tashriq are all connected. When we say those takbirat out loud after the salah in those days, it's all instructions to eat. This is actually a da'wah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that those animals that you slaughtered for the sake of Allah, now you should eat them and enjoy yourself. So in those days, it is completely prohibited to fast. So total will be 5. 1 of Eid al-Fitr, then 1 Eid al-Adha, and then 4 days connected with that, 3 days connected with that, and that'll total be 5. Now, coming to Ramadan, these are all throughout the year different types of fast that come. And now coming to Ramadan, understanding that the Fard fast, how is established? We have the ayat of the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. This is where the obligation comes into effect, that you have to fast. And it has been ordained on you the way it was ordained on those before you. تم پر اس طرح فرض کیا گیا جس طرح تمہارے سے پہلے والوں پر فرض کیا گیا. کیوں؟ لعلکم تتقون, so that you develop piety, پرہیزگاری, اللہ کا خوف, خشیت, all of that is included in taqwa. That this is that's the goal for fasting. So a person becomes closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's many virtues. You'll be hearing throughout all the Jummas in Ramadan, virtues of fasting and ahadith in Fadail of Ramadan. You can find them. I didn't put too many virtues because this is a fiqh session. We're going to go into the technical part. Rasulullah has said, "Man sama Ramadan imanu wa ihtisaban, ghufira lahu ma taqaddam min dhanbi." The person who fasts with iman and then with also with the intention of reward, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive his previous sins. So that's one of the greatest rewards, that pichle sare guna maaf ho jate hain. Now, in order to establish Ramadan, how does it begin? There is the point of moon sighting. That's where it comes in, and every single year this discussion goes out of control that what we should do and what not. The basic understanding to that is this hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Fast, sumu li ru'yatihi." Fast when you see it. Waftiru li ru'yatihi, and stop fasting, or do iftar, that means Eid, also when you see it. فَإِنْ غَمَّ عَلَيْكُمْ فَأَكْمِلُوا الثَّلَاثِينَ. If it's unclear to you, if there's clouds out there, then just complete 30 days and start from the next day. So the 29th of Shaban, that's the night where we are looking for the moon. If it is sighted, Ramadan begins immediately. There's Tarawih, the next day is our first fast. And if not, then we complete. It's very simple. And deen and all the ibadat of deen have been kept in this way. It was later on when we advanced in our technology and we thought to be smarter than those before us, we say, no, forget all of this. We can just find out where the moon is even beforehand. So all of this, which is a great sunnah, and scholars have even said to the point of farz kifaya, that if no one does it, then everyone will be sinful. Looking for the moon itself is a ibadat, and it's being left out because of this mentality that let's just calculate the days. Even in Saudia, they had this problem about the 15th of Shaban. There was so much controversy that they had already announced one day, but those who were looking for the moon, they said it was the next day, and then again a clash came. So to keep it in a simple way, the deen has to be kept that way, that I live anywhere, I can find out where the moon is. I just have to go out and see from a clear horizon. If it is sighted, then go ahead. If not, then complete 30 days. And that's what exactly, you see the point C and C is pointed out. لِرُؤْيَتِهِ. That's the exact meaning of رُؤْيَة. Then others who do their research, they go into the meaning of رُؤْيَة and they try to prove their own. And they say that, look, رُؤْيَة can also be done this way, that way. Technology can only be used to support the deen. It cannot become the basis of any ruling. That's why if a person is looking with his naked eye, he can use the telescope to use it, because there is support. But if a person says that I'm not going to look, and I just calculate, or I'll just try to use other sciences and say that would be the basis, then it will completely leave out the instructions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there was always a practice within the Muslim, that excitement was there. Families would go out and look for the moon. And we are losing that now, and nobody even cares. And they would do it for every single month. They would know this is today, it is the 29th, did it start or not? And since we are going towards the technology and calculations, we have forgotten. Most of the people won't even know the dua for looking for the moon. The reason for that is something that is being given up. So it's important to come back to these instructions and to understand that there's a sense of excitement as well there, that to find out on the 29th, do we begin or not? And we stick to the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by looking for the moon. Now I've also put in the dua for looking for the moon. Allahumma, when it's sighted, this is what to be recited. Allahumma hillahu alayna bil amni wal iman wa salamati wal islam. Rabbi wa rabbuka Allah. Allah, make the new moon rise on us with security and faith, safety and Islam. And then addressing the moon, the person says, "My Lord and your Lord is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Such a beautiful dua. So it is important that even if we know there's chances to be sighted and there's no chance, just to go and look, that itself is a form of ibadah. It's bringing alive a sunnah of Rasulullah sallam, which is being left here, especially in the Western world. So for that niyat, we should bring this into practice again. Then when Ramadan begins, now fasting, it starts with the niyat. There is the dua right there, wa bi sawmi ghadin nawaitu min shahri Ramadan, that I'm going to go ahead and fast. So what am I saying? I intend to keep the fast for the month of Ramadan. The intention is being made that tomorrow I'm going to be fasting. Ghadin, tomorrow, nawaitu, I make the intention, min shahri Ramadan. This type of wording is also used for other months as well. Bisawmi ghadin nawaitu min shahri Sha'ban. It goes like that. So if we want to memorize, it's a very small sentence. It's good to know these du'as as well. So the niyat is necessary, which I started in the definition is there, that you have to have niyat when you're staying hungry and thirsty and you're staying away from the wife throughout the day. With the niyat, the fast becomes valid. Now there's a timing for the niyat. This is something to understand that many people get confused with. The fasting of Ramadan, the fasting of Nawafil, a voluntary fast, and those fasts where there is it's specified beforehand that you're going to fast on this day, in those type of fasts, it is allowed to make the niyat up to the midday. And now this is according to the Hanafi fiqh. Now what does it mean for midday? The days in Shariat are not calculated by our day that starts at around 8 o'clock, right? By midday, it means that beginning from the Fajr time, the midday comes down to before the Zawal time. That's 10, 11 o'clock, 10:30 or 11-ish, the time where we pray the 4 rakat of Chasht. That's the time where the Fuqaha Ikram have said that up to that time for fasting of Ramadan and fasting of Nawafil, a person has the option of making the niyat. Now, niyat is not something you have to say. This is not for us to say these words. Just to have it in the mind, sirf dil ka irada yehi niyat hota hai, right? So if a person wakes up for a sahur, his intention is already there to fast. So he doesn't have to say the wording. Why do we have this concession up to the midday? Is that if a person oversleeps, let's say we missed the Fajr prayer, or overslept. Now we wake up around 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, so if it's Ramadan fasting or a Nafli fast, then this person, he still has the option. He hasn't eaten anything. He still has the option to go ahead and make the niyyah because majority of the day is still there. So because لِلْأَكْثَرِ حُكْمُ الْقُلْ, that it's going to take the ruling of the whole day because majority of the day you spend with the niyyah of fasting. Now in other days of fast. Now another benefit to this is that, let's say we have an appointment in the morning and it's a Ramadan day, you have to fast. First of all, you should not have appointments in these days, but it's a dentist appointment. And many times when the dentist cleans the mouth or he puts things into it, it's possible that stuff's going to go down your throat. So what we do in this case is that if a person knows that at 8, 9 o'clock I have to go to the dentist and there's a possibility my fast is going to break, and scholars have said that he should not make the niyat at Fajr time. Then he should wait and go for the dentist 8, 9 o'clock. And then till the midday, that concession is there. So if during the appointment there was nothing found that went into the throat, then he can continue. He can make the niyat and continue that day's of fast and he's fine. Let's say if he does it the other way around and he makes the niyat from Fajr time and then goes to the dentist and for some reason something goes in, or he had to eat something or a medicine, now that form will be a violation. So if we know that our fast is going to be at risk at that time, it's better to delay the niyat and make it after the appointment is done. And if the best way is not to keep any type of these appointments in Ramadan to put our ibadat at risk. So by knowing the timing of niyat, we find that benefit there. But regularly, a person wakes up for sahur, that's his niyat right there. And these wordings should be said so that in the mind, it's fixed that, okay, I've made my niyat. But they're not first to say, just to have the irada in the heart, that's enough for a person fast to be valid. Then we have, is it necessary to make the intention? We covered that. Doing the niyat is done. Then we have the next one, which is the sunnats of fasting. Now, the very first sunnah, if you look into it, is the sahur, to wake up at the time of sahri and to eat that. Now, it's difficult when the night is very small, and a lot of people, they leave out the sahri, the sahur. They say, okay, I'll just eat something after taravi, and that's it, then I'll wake up for fajr. But this, we find the hadith of Rasulullah where the Prophet said, Tasahharu, it's actually a command. He said, go ahead and make sahri and take sahur. فَإِنَّ فِي السَّحُورِ بَرَكَةٌ It is a special type of blessing in that time of eating. Now, it is true that when we wake up around 3:15, the body, we don't feel like eating, right? Even if somebody puts biryani in front of us, you don't feel like eating, right? That's how it is. You feel like all raw and stuff. So how do we take benefit of this? Keep in mind the sunnah of Rasulullah that Rasulullah ﷺ did not wake up and eat heavy things at that time. There were some dates, some water, and some small amount of snacks. The point was not to eat and with the mind that, oh, it's a long fast, I should just keep stuffing myself to the last minute. That wasn't the idea. The idea was to eat right before the time of the beginning of fast to attain that barakah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the khas barakat is sahri ke khane mein rakhi hai. That's why even if we're not hungry to get up at that time, we should have something. Take a few dates, some glass of water, and that's it. So at least the sunnah is fulfilled and the barakat is attained. The other wisdom behind it is the tahajjud time, right? So if we are regular with the sahur, the opportunity of tahajjud will always be there. And scholars have suggested that at least 20 minutes. We take out for 2 rakat, 4 rakat, 6, all the way up to 8 rakats, 2, 2, 2, and then make dua. And that time will be the best because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself makes announcements at that time. Right? That's the barakah time. And all the awliya Allah, they were regular in their tahajjud prayer. So duas are being accepted and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking, who has a hajjud? Fulfill the hajjud. Who wants to be forgiven? I'll forgive them. Who's sick? I'll give them shifa. So at that time, if I'm sleeping, I'm going to miss out. So Sahari has also that wisdom connected with it, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the opportunity for tahajjud. And for 30 days, if this person is praying tahajjud, then inshallah afterwards as well, it'll be easy for him to continue with that. The second sunnah that is mentioned here is to delay suhoor up to a little bit before dawn. And that's exactly what I just said, that we should not call the food that we will eat after taraweeh and say that this is my suhoor and done. But it's the last portion of the night to delay it. That's also a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The other sunnah that's mentioned here is about the iftar time. Immediately after the sun has set. Now many masajid, they put in the timing. That timing is already set in a way that it's after sunset. That's why those 2-3 minutes are added. So to be sure, now after that, don't delay it anymore. The 3 minutes, if they are not added, it's possible that a person might make a mistake and his watch might be wrong or anything. So that if it's exact time, you can mess up. And if it's before a minute before, the whole fast will break. That's why the 2-3 minutes are added in every calendar. It's good to ask about and find that, okay, where are the limits? So once the sun has set, immediately after that, a person should open his fast. You should not feel that, okay, I can do more. I stay longer, people will see that I'll get more reward. That's not how it is. It's actually makruh to delay the fast, to delay the iftar. Rasulullah ﷺ, even when he was traveling, he would stop. Now the sun is setting, he would stop, get off his camel or any form of conveyance, and then open his bag and then have the iftar. So there was that 2-3 minute delay at sunset. And then a little bit after that, he would immediately open the fast. What to use for fasting? The sunnah is the dates and water. The best thing is for dates that Salman ibn Amir radiallahu anhu find the hadith reported that I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, when one of you breaks his psalm, let him break it on dates. If he does not have any, break his fast with water, for it is pure. Now, when it comes to purity, it also involves one point here, that the money which is used to buy that iftar has to also be halal income. This is something that we don't think about, but it's important to understand that even the masajid, when they collect money for this, they should be taking from people who have halal income. And at home as well, we make sure that the money that I'm using, this should be done throughout the year, that at least in Ramadan, we should be sure that this is that income that it has no doubt whatsoever in it, and I should be using that for my iftar. And secondly, the dates should be given preference to. Now, if not dates, they're not available, then water. Besides that, technically, anything you eat at that time with dua is going to open the fast, but you'll miss out on the sunnah. Then we have the dua. Allahumma inni laka suntu wa bika amantu wa وَعَلَيْكَ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَعَلَىٰ رِزْقِكَ أَفْتَرْتُ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I fasted for you, I believe in you, and I put my trust in you, and I break my fast with your sustenance. You notice that everything is revolving around Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every dua, it gives us yaqeen that Allah is the doer of everything. That's the beauty of these dua. They're not just to be recited and said, but they give us, they fix our aqidah that this rizq I have, it is from Allah. I fasted with the ability given to me by Allah. Tawfiq was given by Allah. So in every portion, you're thanking Allah, and your yaqeen is also being built by these du'as. At the time of iftar especially, the du'as are accepted. So we have to make sure that we should be there before, like 10 minutes, 5 minutes, and that time is to make du'a. لِصَائِمِ فَرْحَةً. On hadith of Rasulullah is pointed out that for the person who is fasting, he gets two happinesses. One is عند الفطر, at the time of eating, وعند لقاء ربي, and the second will be when he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the jaza of fast will be given directly by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his slave. So this is a beautiful thing to understand, and a few minutes ahead of iftar we should be freeing ourselves. Now coming to the last portion of this is the goal of fasting, taqwa. And again you'll hear it throughout Ramadan, that every prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they worked for this taqwa. That means that whatever taqaza came, whatever need came, whatever hukum came, they fulfilled. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam's effort of 950 years was a command to give da'wah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the tawfiq to do so. He fulfilled it. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam sacrificing his own son. The son accepting this offer, right? And Yusuf alayhi salam rejecting many women. Why was all of this being done? They were highly accepted in the sight of Allah, but to attain taqwa, more sacrifice. So even if a person is pious, he's going to be fasting in Ramadan for that taqwa, that this at this time of the year, Allah wants me to stay hungry, because of that I'm going to stay hungry. Rasulullah ﷺ offered salat in the night, throughout the night, even though his past and future sins, which are not technically sins, but in to understand that he wanted to get to that high level. Rasulullah said, I should be a grateful slave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we talk about the benefits of fasting, we should be clear that my primary understanding is that taqwa. That's what I want to get. Piety. I want to get closer to Allah. I want to get my connection, my salat, my khushu, all those sifat. That is the compilation of taqwa. Some scholars have put it into this way. They have said that to fulfill the command, do the obligations, that's one form. Then connect that with good characteristics. Achhe akhlaq. Ibadat ke saath achhe akhlaq. Aur ibadat ko badhana. Refrain from the major sins and to stay away from the sins. So when a person commits a sin and he does a good deed, what happens is the good deed is bringing in the nur and then the sin pulls it out. It's like the air condition is on, but the windows are open in the summer. Right? All the air is coming in and out, in and out. So in Ramadan, we have to make sure that, of course, the whole year we should not be committing. But in Ramadan, I have to make sure that all of those good deeds that I'm doing, farz equal to 70 faraiz and nawafil equal to farz, I can get all of that and keep it into my account till I meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the way to do that is to stay away from the sins. And all the collection of that is known as taqwa. And then this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ranks every individual. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. That the most honorable in the sight of Allah is who? The one who has the most amount of taqwa. Not our backgrounds, not where we belong to, not how we look. It is the taqwa that defines a person's status in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the basic understanding of fast. The meaning, where it's coming from, sunnats, some basic things, that's all I mentioned today. In the next session, that will be our final session before Ramadan, we're going to talk about what breaks the fast and what to do, what not to do, the nullifiers. That itself is very, very detailed. That's why the whole session of next time will be covering that, inshallah. So far, anything which is unclear that we need clarification for? Okay, inshallah? Yes. Yes. Any other meaning besides fasting? For Ramadan. No. There is distinction. That was the two. One is good point. Yes, I have to clarify that. One is Ramadan fast and Nawafil fast. You can make niyat up to midday. And there are other types of fast, which I mentioned the categories, but they don't have that concession. That's the kafara. When a person has a penalty, he has to make up 60 days of consecutive fasting. Now you cannot wait till the midday. Similarly, a nafil fast that a person has broken, and now it's wajib on him to make it up. Now you cannot wait till the midday. Or a fast of Ramadan, the person had to break it. Now he has to make qaza. If it's a qaza fast we're doing, then we cannot wait till the midday. So that's the other type of fast there, that you have to have the niyat at the time of Fajr, when the Fajr begins. That's also another point to understand, that the Fajr time, we have to stick to the earlier calendar. Many of us, we go to different masajid and we say, okay, that's easier for us. But the point is, when there is ikhtilaf between ulama or between masajid, always go with the ihtiyat, always go with the safe point. Why? Because we cannot sacrifice our ibadah for anyone or to please anyone. It's a small, it might feel a 10, 15 minute or even a 20 minute delay. But what happens is that we'll get some time for ibadat before the Fajr time. So we have to make sure that our fast is safe. Similarly, at opening the iftar time, give it those 2-3 minutes. That is also because of ihtiyat. So it's Eid al-Adha, the day itself, and then 3 more days after that. Those are the days of when we read the takbirat. Do you remember those takbirat? We read them up to all the way up to the 13th, right? So we connect those days, and we have 4 days there, and the 5th is Eid al-Fitr, only 1 day. So that's the complete 5 days where it's haram to fast. Where is Brother Shariar here? Yeah, so he is going to give us just a little bit of detail about the expenses that were done with the funds that we collected from this session. Yeah, inshallah. Go ahead, and then that's going to be in the end.
Assalamu alaikum. So, a couple of months ago or so, we stood here and asked 20 brothers or donate $50 each. That's $1,000. That was our goal. Alhamdulillah, we met and exceeded the target by far. So we raised $1,700. One brother donated 2 55-inch TV, brand new as you see here. And another brother donated a touchscreen monitor. So with all that money, as you can see, we have implemented the audio-video system that we have been using for a couple of months on both men's side and ladies' side. And we have $223.45 surplus on our account. So if anybody has any ideas how or suggestions how we could spend that money, please let Mufti Sahab or anybody on the Masjid Authority know. So we would like to get your feedback. It's your money. You know. Remaining is $223.45. Okay, that's a good idea. We can save it for any feed.
So should we just order the pizza for next time, or everyone will bring something? And so the youngster is going to say pizza, and the other one's like, pizza bhi rakh le thoda sa, or wo bhi rakh le. Okay, well, one more point here. You notice there's another sheet given to you. That is actually to make this whole Ramadan goal easy for us. Like, how do we want to spend our Ramadan? And this is not to actually judge anyone. we have to keep this with ourselves, not show it to anyone. Somebody might be crossing out all of those things and doing them right, and somebody might not be able to do. So in any case, we should put it up on our refrigerator, put it somewhere in our bedroom. Every day we can look at it. What happens is Ramadan, once it starts going very, very fast. You notice that 10 days are done. Then we're in the second Ashura and then the third. So once the moon is sighted, I should make sure that, okay, these are those ibadah that I want to get done, and I'm going to accomplish this in this beautiful month of Ramadan. So every single day, these ibadah that we are doing, you'll notice there's about tasbihat, there's about Quran, and there's about praying those nawafil, awabin, those things that we don't even do in the regular days. We want to be at the highest in Ramadan. So best way is to check them out every single day. So rozana kya agar tick laga de rahe the, aaj maine tilawat bhi kar li, duaen bhi pad li, aur tasbihat bhi ho gayi, ab ye reh gaya. Isse kya hoga? You'll be surprised that subhanallah, there's so much time and there's so much that can be accomplished in this month. If this is not kept in front of us, then we'll be hearing bayans, but we go back to our routine. And many times people, they sleep throughout the day, right? And then we want to get wake up close to the time of fast so we don't feel the fast as much, right? And to stay in the air conditioning. And so even though we're very comfortable in that type of form, but these things can be easily accomplished. And what happens is right after Ramadan, you'll be surprised that you'll be in the habit of doing all of this. And then it will continue at least for a month or so. If we constantly push ourselves, inshallah, it can even carry on till the next Ramadan. So their nawafil, their mustahabbats and sunnats, all of that is mentioned to take some sadaqah out every single day, right? Now, these are things that we usually look at it as a small thing. But in Ramadan, the ibadat will be, it's a nafli ibadat that you're getting reward for farz. So we make sure, inshallah, put this up somewhere in the house, and after that, we can take account of ourselves every single day, inshallah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Rabbana hab lana min azwajina wa dhurriyyatina qurrata a'yunin waj'alna lil muttaqina imama. Allahumma ballighna Ramadan. Ya Allah, hamari gunahon ko maaf farma. Ya Allah, ek mubarak mahina aane wala, ya Allah, uski tayari naseeb farma. Ya Allah, shuru se aakhir tak, ya Allah, sahi tareeke se roze rakhne ki taufeeq naseeb farma. Sahi tareeke se raat ka qiyam tarawih karne ki taufeeq naseeb farma. Ya Allah, buraiyon se hamari hifazat farma. Ya Allah, jo duniya se chale gaye, ya Allah, sab ki maghfirat farma. Ya Allah, jo hamare bhai behan bimar hain, ya Allah, unki sehat yaab naseeb farma. Shifa-e kamil aajila naseeb farma. Rozon ke istidad naseeb farma. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun al mursaleen. Alhamdulillahi